Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Lauder Podcast. My name is Edward, and today I'm here with Dr. Marcy Bevan. Marcy is Director of Admissions and External Affairs. Here at the Lauder Institute, her responsibilities include admissions, alumni relations, financial aid, and coordinating special events. Hi, Marcy. How are you today?
I'm just fine, thank you.
That's good. Thank you for coming today. So before we start, you're currently the Director of Admissions and External Affairs here at Lauder, but you've been here for about 20 years, 23 years. So could you give us a little bit of history about the Lauder Institute before we start?
The program was conceived of by both Leonard and Ronald Lauder, who in 1983 announced a gift to the University of Pennsylvania in the amount of $10 million to found this joint degree program. The inception of the idea of the program came about because of Leonard and Ronald's experience of working outside the United States and their realization that particularly Americans who were sent abroad knew little of the language and culture, and they felt that it was an essential portion of one's management education to become better acquainted with language and culture.
Right.
So the gift was announced in 1983. It was given in 1984 when the first class was admitted, and they graduated in 1986, which is when I began working as the Director of External Affairs. I was not involved in admissions in the early years, and there were also no alumni because nobody had graduated yet. So I'm in the very unique position of knowing everybody who's ever been through the program, which is one of the wonderful things about this job.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. So, any favorite memories or favorite parts since you've been here, since you know everyone who's been through the program?
One of the nice things about this job is that as devoted as I am to some of the students, everybody moves on. So we're always bringing in new people, new interesting people with a whole set of varied experiences. And I think it's the people, the former students, and then the alumni who I stay closely in touch with who make it continually interesting, challenging. It's like having 1,300 children.
It's one way of looking at it, I guess. Yeah. So you were saying that your role sort of has changed over the years.
Well, I was hired to do publications, print publications, which of course barely exist anymore. Do internship placement because at that point the students were perfectly happy to get on an airplane and go work for 2 months in Venezuela for $500 a month for a company that nobody had ever heard of. Life has changed in a lot of regards since then. And I was also doing special events, so planning for the board of directors meeting and for conversations with board members when they came in. And now I am the director of admissions and external affairs, and external affairs means essentially working with the alumni. We write a newsletter twice a year. We visit with alumni when we travel for Lauder events, for admissions events. So we have got alumni reunions in different countries, and there have been 5 all Lauder gatherings in New York, London, and next year in San Francisco, where all Lauder alumni are invited to come together. So that's what external affairs means.
Yeah, we just did a podcast with Luis Gonzalez, who's in Brazil right now with his pharmaceutical benefits firm. So that was an interesting conversation. What about Lauder has made you stay here for so many years?
I wanted to work at the University of Pennsylvania for some undefined reason and sent my resume to Human Resources, and they called and said, "Did you apply for this position?" And I said, "What's the Lauder Institute know?" And it was a perfect job at that point for what I had done in my volunteer life. And I have very much enjoyed working at the University of Pennsylvania and specifically Lauder. And I think that's the close relationship with the students who now I admit and know while they're here because we have such a small, close-knit population that I have the opportunity to talk to them at great length while they're here and then stay in touch afterwards. Mm-hmm. And my role has continued to evolve.
Yeah. And during your time here at Penn, you also received a doctorate in education. So has your work at Lauder influenced that or vice versa?
It was one of the benefits that was available to people who were working at the University of Pennsylvania to take classes at that point, essentially for no money. And I felt it was a wasted benefit if I didn't take advantage of it. So then I got hooked. And I started out by taking one class a semester towards a master's. And once I finished the master's, I wasn't quite through.
Yeah.
And a lot of the classes have had to do with what I need to know to work in a university in general, but university law, et cetera. And I did go on and write my dissertation about women in the Lauder Institute. While it wasn't a particularly life-changing, meaningful document, it was interesting for me to do the research because we've always had more women applicants than Wharton alone. And it was what was about the Lauder Institute that attracted people. Ultimately, I found out there was not a huge difference between the women and the men and their reasons for applying, except that women were more likely to have worked in internships outside the United States, which could have a lot to do with other aspects for gender. But I was able to compile some substantial records about the Lauder Institute.
Sure.
And now I can be called doctor on my business cards, which is the only time I ever use it.
Shifting gears a little bit, a lot of people wonder what role does the Lauder family have with the Lauder Institute? Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
The Lauder family has been extremely generous in their support of the Institute and have added to the original donation several times over the years. We have annual board meetings where both Leonard and Ronald come down. They occasionally come to speak. And one of the interesting things that the students get to do each year is to go visit the Estee Lauder companies when they first come in May. We have a field trip to New York so that they can see really how impressive the operations of the company are.
And there's also an internship with the Estee Lauder companies.
That's right. For the past several years, as long as I can remember, there has been at least one person who has worked for the company during the summer. Last year, there were two, one in New York and one in China. And we have probably a dozen graduates who have been hired full-time by
Estee Lauder.
Clinique, Estee Lauder, one of the companies within the group.
And then there's also the Leonard Lauder Fellowship.
Leonard Lauder has given money to fund fellowships. There are five fellowships available per year for entering students, which fully cover the cost of the MA degree. And they are awarded at the time of admission. And they are based on a set of objective criteria, which is determined by the admissions committee. And the people who meet that standard are discussed by the admissions committee in advance. And they're notified at the time of the admissions call.
So if an applicant doesn't receive a Leonard Lauder fellowship, are there other forms of financial aid available to students?
Absolutely. There are fellowships available for almost all the students.
Okay. So you mentioned the admissions committee and being director of admissions yourself. What would you say is the value of a Lauder degree?
The value of a Lauder degree is that not only are you trained in cross-cultural issues and language, but you learn about international law and political economies and internationalized management cases so that you are well prepared to go work in another part of the world or to work domestically with international clients. You just know more about what goes on with the political economies around the world. Over 50% of our graduates have worked outside of the United States at some point since they've been out of school. The vast majority of others work, although domestically, and travel a great deal or work with international clients. And I think it helps them notice more and deal more effectively with people from other places, even if it's not somebody in the region where they're focusing. It gives them a credibility with companies that hire them. I've known some companies that give salaries with points for the extra degree or the language or the time in country.
So there's a number of benefits to receiving the joint degree then.
Well, you also get to spend time during the first summer in the country that corresponds with your language. And now we have the GKL projects where the students are spending time outside the United States at our expense working on projects.
Right, doing research.
Credit.
Yeah.
Right.
In lieu of a thesis then at the end.
It's not called a thesis. They still have to write a graduate program, a paper, which is a research paper for the graduate division.
Okay. So it's a new name.
A substantial paper.
Yeah. Right. You've obviously read a lot of applications over your time here. Who would be a good applicant for Lauder?
Most of our – well, first of all, at Wharton and at Lauder, we look to make sure that somebody can do the work. So we look at the numbers. We look at how well they've done in school and what kind of grades they get on their GMATs and their TOEFL if they come from another country. Then we look at whether they've spent time outside their home country and where it is and what they were doing while they were there. Were they working? Were they traveling? What's obvious in their application that they like about the international scene?
Mm-hmm.
It's not for somebody who just wants to travel and finds it glamorous, and it's not for somebody who describes a cross-cultural challenge as one where they have to learn how to eat other foods or speak other languages. So we look at the same things that Wharton does. You know, what is their work? What is the progression of work? And then what have they done internationally? I think people find us. They know about the Lauder Institute, and I've heard more than one person say, I feel as this program was designed for me. So it's that kind of a person who says, oh, perfect, when they read about the Lauder Institute.
It really matches closely with what their goals are, with what their interests are. Yeah. Any advice that you give applicants?
Well, I think know the program.
Mm-hmm.
Spend time on the website. Come visit. Attend a class.
Yeah.
There's a lot of question about language level from some people. You know, listen to the podcasts. Take the OPI. See what your language level is.
Mm-hmm.
If you are at an intermediate level, start practicing.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're at a superior level, call us to talk to us about it.
We spoke to Kenrick, who is the director of the language programs, and he was very specific in terms of what different levels on the OPI test mean and what sort of requirements there are before you are accepted to Lauder, and by the time you graduate, where you're expected to be in terms of superiority. And
we also look at the transcript to see how people have learned their language. So have they studied it in college?
Versus having learned at home or working in a country, something like that, yeah. So going back for a moment to your role as Director of External Affairs and alumni specifically, how close is the Lauder alumni community? How close are their connections with Lauder? Or how close are their connections with one another?
My sense is that they stay very much in touch with each other. I'm going to a party in New York in 3 weeks from the class of 1987. They're getting together to visit to celebrate their 50th birthdays. I've heard about the class of 1986 still taking family vacations together where they take their kids skiing, etc. In fact, we have the first time this year, one of the sons of the class of 1983 is one of our current students.
Oh, wow. Second generation of Lauderites.
But I know that they have reunions. They get together for reunions within in the countries when people are traveling. They look in the database. We have a Lauder database. See who's in the country. You know, call upon those people for business or for just, you know, I'm here in Shanghai. I was wondering if you'd like to have dinner. I understand that they're very receptive to current students calling them. They're helpful with our students getting jobs. Our students start their summer immersions when they travel to the countries that correspond with their language, mm-hmm. and they visit alumni when they're first there, so that there's an alumni reception in every region during the first summer, so our current students get to know the alumni. In fact, last Sunday, there was a brunch in Shanghai in China of all the Lauder students who live there, and I understand there were 25 people at the brunch.
Wow. One
of the graduates took it upon herself to reach out to everybody within the community. And that's a very good networking opportunity.
Definitely, yeah.
And they're not from China, grew up somewhere else. There are people there who were in the Japanese group and the Russian group, so people don't necessarily end up in the same country that corresponds to their language. But our training, one hopes, acclimate them to the cultural challenges. And while they have the daunting task of learning a new language occasionally, at least they are susceptible to the cues that they experience so that they know something's going on which is different from what they're used to.
Yeah, we speak to a lot of students during the podcast, and they speak about the community here during their time here, and they speak of their summer immersion trips and meeting alumni, and it's good to know that sort of sense of community continues after their time here at least ends.
Mm-hmm. You say to people, what was the best part about Lauder? They say the people. And while that doesn't necessarily impress somebody who's looking at the program coming in because they have the consideration of extra time and extra money. It really is the close-knit group of 60, 65, 70 students who are here and get to know each other very well. In fact, we have 38 marriages amongst Lauder graduates, so some of them get to know each other
very well.
Very well. But it's hard to explain coming in how spending a month on campus in May is going to yield so many close relationships. But when people come back from their summer immersions, they already have a cohort.
Yeah.
So they have this cohort of Lauder, and then they have another cohort that they go into at Wharton. Possibly our building helps because they come and eat lunch there a lot. And we have special events for Lauder students during the year. And they do take classes together, some classes together throughout their 2 years.
Right.
But it's like a family.
And certainly within the language tracks, you get to know the people very well.
Even better.
Yeah.
And the family aspect is probably what really has kept me here all these years, because I feel as though I'm important to many of them and that it is a family.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Well, thank you for coming today. I enjoyed our conversation.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Lauder Podcast. For more information about the Lauder Institute, please visit our website at lauderinstitute.org. My name is Edward, and thanks again for listening.